Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Orchestra. All together, they are Amanda Forrest and James Palak, who I've already introduced.
They're here on the show with me.
Renz Adame and Nolan Horvath, as well as Julian Day. Now, you guys are an amazing group and an ensemble cast. You play video game music all over town, and I just wanted to get you on the show because you have an upcoming show, an upcoming concert on July 30th.
You do? Yep.
What's it called?
So we are playing for Beeps and Bops on July 30th, which is coming up a couple Thursdays from now. We are the first act on the show. We're playing at 6:30 at the Park Theater.
That is 698 Osborne Street. The doors are at 6, and these guys go on at 6:30. So you do want to make sure you're there for doors, so you can get a drink, maybe a little snack, a bag of chips, and take these guys in because they are going to be fantastic. Following you're going to be followed by Shay's Violin, 8-Bit into Single Players, and Super Effects to close the night. Fantastic value. Tickets are $35 at Eventbrite. Beeps and Bops, that's Thursday, July 30th, as you said, James, at the Park Theater, 698 Osborne Street. Again, tickets $35, eventbrite.ca. You really can't get better value than what you guys are putting on there. I want to start the show off again about introducing the SideQuest Quintet. You guys have been around for about a year, you were telling me. Is that right?
Yeah, just about a year, almost to the day.
Almost to the day. Well, I'm glad I can have you around your birthday. Some of the shows that you guys played last year include Extra Life North and the Winnipeg Comic Con last fall. Did you guys play that?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the organizers said it was one of the most attended events at the con?
Most attended event in the room that we had booked, which was a bit of a good claim to fame. We had about 120 people or so show up into our room to watch the concert.
Amazing, you guys. Well, let's see if we can get more than 120 people there at your Beeps and Bops show there on July 30th. Again, that's at the Park Theater. Tickets are $35. Now, I'm going to be repeating that many times over the hour because I'm going to be there. I love every act that's going on there. And if you're enjoying this interview this hour, make sure you tune in next week as well. And I should have an interview with Shay's Violin. Now, SideQuest Quintet, you guys. Again, that Extra Life North show, amazing there. You were helped raise $2,500 for the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba. You guys are so amazing, and what a great cause. I want to know, what is the history of the SideQuest Quintet? How did this project get started?
Well, largely when the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra started, shortly as we were kind of getting ready for our first concert, which was supposed to be at a community band festival, but ended up being opening for a University of Manitoba summer band instead, the director's partner and one of our ensemble members, Meg Specht, mentioned the event Extra Life North and maybe getting some people to do some chamber music about it. And we've just kind of kept it in our heads, and eventually we ended up sort of getting introduced to Renz, who wanted to be a part of the orchestra and wasn't quite there yet. And he thought about the idea of creating a wind quintet. And so James and I were available, as well as Julian, and we ended up finding Nolan, and we decided to put a big set together.
Yeah, it was interestingly casual how it all kind of came together. It was... the Extra Life North show was mentioned, get a small group together. It wasn't in a big room, so we couldn't bring the whole 60-person video game orchestra. And so It was simple Discord conversations of, hey, anybody want to form a wind quintet and play some music? This was Renz, our oboist. Myself and Amanda jumped on board, our horn player Julian jumped on board, and then Renz knew Nolan through the community, Nolan is our bassoon player. And we just started rehearsing, and then here we are a year later.
Yep.
I got a question for you. So I mentioned the two shows that you played last year, the Extra Life North show, as well as the Comic Con here in Winnipeg. Have you played a show previous to this year, this one coming up on July 30th?
We did.
As the quintet?
We actually did. We did do a show for one of the schools, Hampstead School. Renz knew the teacher there, Kathleen Servadat. I also knew the teacher because we shared the same clarinet teacher at one point. So we were both fellow studio members from like different generations. So I knew her too. But we ended up playing a little show there, and we decided to put a little program together, especially for them. And one of the things we put on there was an arrangement of Morning Mood, you know, by Edvard Grieg, you know, da 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 da. So
yeah, for sure. I think we got there.
That is prominently featured on Roblox, which, of course, for kids is very popular.
I was going to say, is it all Fortnite music?
We included some Minecraft, and let me tell you, as a classical musician, you have never felt like more of a rock star than when you play Minecraft music and Morning Mood for a group of kindergarten to grade 5 students. We've never had such a big crowd reaction, screaming and yelling and excitement.
The first 3 notes, there were screaming, and it was wild.
Oh my goodness, you guys. I love how video game music can like touch so many people and connect so many people so deeply, especially young people, that it can get them hooked and get them interested in something like a chamber music. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing, amazing work that you guys are doing there. So I wanted to ask now, how did you guys get the, that is the SideQuest Quintet, how did you get connected to the Bonus Stage guys? The Bonus Stage are, of course, the group putting on the Beeps and Bops show. They're sort of based out of Vancouver. And how did that connection ultimately come about? Do you remember?
So that was mostly done by the Video Game Orchestra's executive director, Dan Bjornsson. He is the creator and our leader for it. He is a regular attender of events around the city, musical events. There was a spot to fill this year, and they connected and reached out to him, and he said, hey, we can get some chamber groups on the stage. And so we volunteered, and now here we are.
A lot of this wouldn't be happening without Dan and his establishment of the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra in the first place. So we're very grateful that Dan has allowed for all of these opportunities to happen.
Thank you, Dan, if you're listening.
We love you, Dan.
Dan, we're going to get to talking about the Winnipeg Video Game Music Orchestra in a little bit, but I wanted to say, we are talking about the SideQuest Quintet. James Palick and Amanda Forrest are here joining me from that, and they are playing the Beeps and Bops show, as we alluded to, on July 30th, so make sure you get tickets. For now, though, let's play a little sample of what people can expect to hear at some of these shows. Now, you may not have this exact show the song on the lineup this year, but I do want to play some classics that people are just going to recognize. They're going to jump off the page for our listeners. How about we start with Zelda's Lullaby?
Yes, we'd love that.
All right, you guys. Yeah, everyone out there, you're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Thank you.
so beautiful, that stuff, you guys. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM. That was Zelda's Lullaby as performed by the Side Quest Quintet.
And I just want to mention that that particular arrangement was made by a fellow member of the video game orchestra, Chris Byman. He is also a local composer, clarinetist, incredible human being. And Amanda and I have both known him for a long time, so it's an honor to be able to play his music.
We both went to school with Chris, and we absolutely adore him as a person and a musician. So obviously it was a no-brainer to include an arrangement by him.
Well, James and Amanda, I want to say thank you very much for coming on my show today. Amanda Forrest, you play clarinet on the SideQuest Quintet.
I do.
And James, you are the flautist.
Flute and sometimes piccolo.
Yes, I understand that you play the piccolo as the occasion calls for. We are going to talk about Dan. Actually, we're going to talk a bit about some of the arrangements later on in the show. So we are going to get a chance to promo all the amazing arrangers that you guys may have connected to or worked with. But first, I want to talk a bit about you guys as individuals, as musicians and as fans of video games. So do you mind, James, do you mind if I start with Amanda today?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much. So Amanda... I'm going to introduce you so you don't have to run down your, incredible biography, but you are a Canadian clarinetist who lives here in Winnipeg. You began your clarinet journey at the age of 12 in grade 7 to 12 in high school in your band program, but you eventually attained a bachelor's in music education from Brandon University and a master's in clarinet performance from Western University. Now, you've been arranging and releasing your own covers of video game music since, at least 2020?
Yeah, there a lot of those things were just sort of pandemic projects I did just to keep myself active after everything shut down shortly after I finished my master's.
Well, I know how that can feel going back and listening to that, some of that pandemic's era stuff. We all had to get a little creative. I'm sure we all have, yeast that's still in our fridge that we haven't baked yet. But, you can find them on your YouTube channel and your Bandcamp or through your website, AmandaForestClarinet.com.
Yeah, that would be the place to do it. The Bandcamp mostly contains... It doesn't contain a lot of video game covers. It mostly contains a lot of my experimental improvisations that I have done.
You've been into improvisational clarinet stuff lately. At least I saw some more recent releases from last year. I wanted to know, is that jazz stuff? Or what is that exactly?
I would say it's mostly just sort of experimental contemporary. A lot of what I have been exploring has been through sort of workshops that come from more of a contemporary perspective. During the pandemic, one of my friends, a wonderful flute player by the name of Shannon Lewis, took part in sort of a virtual sort of set of festivals and little sort of workshops called Z Festival, and I decided to join a little sort of fall thing they decided to come up with called the Unacademy, and through that, I learned a lot more about different sort of ways to use electronics, different kinds of digital audio workstations to use, and just kind of ways you can experiment with effects and just kind of a lot of different other things. And through that, I started to become a little more brave with the concept of improvisation and just kind of doing things and not worrying so much about perfection and just trying to sort of aim for a specific mood or tone, and even just sort of practice a couple of contemporary techniques.
I have to say, this makes me think about video game music, because video game music, one of the things that stands out to me about it so much is that there is a lot less control in a video game over the user's experience or the player's experience than you would have, say, in a movie, where you have complete control over what everyone sees all the time and what they hear and when they hear it. So video game music, in my experience at least, has to convey a lot of tone, a lot of feeling, a lot of emotion, in particular complex emotions sometimes. Fear, anxiety, happiness, being the feeling of being home, other things like that. That sounds like a bit of, at least a connection to what you do with the improvisational stuff. You're trying to evoke those feelings as well.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So I want to say, you also have these arrangements out there, and we're going to move over to James here in a moment, Amanda. But I wanted to say how much I really enjoyed some of the arrangements that you did that are clarinet exclusive of video game music.
Oh, thank you.
We are going to play some of them coming up, actually. I've got a track from Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal that you did.
Yes.
We're going to play it in a little bit. maybe you can introduce it then, but first sure. I want to talk to James.
Absolutely.
James Palak.
Hello.
You are originally from Winnipeg.
I am.
Moved to Newfoundland, but then came back a couple of years ago.
I did.
Well, we're happy to have you back. You received your Bachelor of Flute Performance from Brandon University and your Master's of Flute Performance and Pedagogy from Memorial University of Newfoundland. Your main musical inspiration comes from, is this true, video games?
It does, yep. That's why I'm here.
And your favorite composers, some of your favorite composers on the shortlist are Nobuo Uematsu, Koji Kondo, and Yasunori Mitsuda, of course. Absolutely. So, James, you're also a teacher?
I am, yeah. It's funny, like, not by choice. It kind of naturally happened as a progression of
things.
How
many teachers are teachers by choice, eh?
Yeah, right? It's as you said, my education was all in performance. So I did my performance undergrad in Brandon, and I told myself, I don't want to be in a classroom. I will never be in a classroom. I'm not a classroom teacher. That just seems too difficult. There's too many factors, too many students who might not want to be there. And then I started teaching privately. I would have one-on-one students and small group students. And because of that, I started to really enjoy that. And I started to find that not only was I enjoying it, but I felt like I was getting good at it. And so that's when I looked for a master's program that would complement that. And I ended up at Memorial University of Newfoundland, MUN, because they have a master's program in performance and pedagogy. So not only do you practice being a professional performer, playing at a high level, but you also get a lot of experience in teaching and in coaching. Your classes are revolved around working with younger students. And through there, I ended up teaching for a program called Project Grace, which unfortunately no longer exists, but it was a Sistema-inspired program. If you haven't heard of Sistema, essentially it is a program that caters teaching musical instruments to students who might not otherwise have access to music and music lessons. So taught for Project Grace, taught small groups, taught flute there. Ended up moving back to Winnipeg here in 2021, and we also have a chapter of Sistema in Winnipeg, Sistema Winnipeg, and they were hiring a flute teacher conveniently that year. I got brought on as the flute teacher. Long story short, there was another teacher who went on leave, so I stepped into his position and started teaching some of the orchestras and thought, hey, I'm actually enjoying this. I'm enjoying this strange level of classroom teaching that I ended up doing that I told myself I would never do. And then I was hired for that role regularly. So I've been teaching for Sistema for the past 5 years. And now going into this September, I'm actually teaching K-5 music, 6-8 band, and Sistema. So I'm now a full-time teacher, which is hilarious. The thing I told myself I'd never do, and I love it.
James, that's an amazing story. One quick question for you, not to take anything away, but to refocus it on video games. How do you take your video game influence, and how does that support, or how do you see that connection there? Some of your biggest musical influences, how do you take that into the classroom?
There are so many video game references, video game pieces of music that are super valuable for kids that kind of connect them back to music. Teaching kids just strictly the classics, the Beethovens, the Mozarts, and all that stuff, they don't connect with that as much. They connect with the things that they experience themselves. And a lot of that is video games. When we were growing up, video games were kind of the minority, right? The gamers. I know that when I was in elementary school, I didn't have any gamer friends. And now all kids play video games. Video games are really popular. And so they're hearing this music, they're experiencing this music, they're not necessarily noticing it, but then when they get a chance to play it and experience it from a different angle, it really relates to them.
Amazing. And, you know, let me tell you this, James. Never has there been a sadder story told on my show than a young person who likes video games who has no friends who likes video games. That is tough. That is tough.
Welcome to the 90s.
highly sympathize.
I want to ask both you guys, maybe you can go just quickly. How did you get your instrument? How did you find your instrument? James, you're you play the flute and the piccolo on occasion. And Amanda, you are the clarinetist for the SideQuest Quintet. How did you guys get your instruments? How did you find this one is the one that speaks to me?
Well, ultimately, I started band over at Elmwood High School. My high school band director, Andrew Wall, was teaching there at the time. So often what happens there is sort of the instrument selection process. We had clinicians who would come and teach us anyways, but so they came and also just got us started on our instruments. We did a couple of little sort of preliminary music things, and eventually we got to the instrument selection where we got to try all the different instruments and then list our top three choices. I had already sort of thought about the clarinet already because I just didn't want to be one of those girls who played flute. Sorry, James.
Hey, I'm not one of those girls that played flute either.
So I did try the flute, though. It ended up being my second choice, though these days I don't think I could actually play it. But as we did things, I found I was not great on brass. Brass was not my friend. Low brass was more so than trumpet. Trumpet, bane of my existence. But I found I sounded really good on the clarinet, and it seemed like my high school band director was also a clarinetist, and he was running the clarinet stuff, and he seemed pretty into the idea too, and I put it down as my top choice. And then when it came to the selections, he's like, "How would you like to play clarinet?" And I'm like, "Sure." He's like, "Done. Welcome to band."
Amazing. Well, I'm glad that it sounds like the instrument kind of found you almost. Like, you had the chance to try it both, and you already had your eye on that clarinet, it sounded like.
Yeah. It just happened to be a really good fit.
And then the flute played second fiddle to it, eh?
Yeah.
James, you prefer the flute, however, and the piccolo. So tell me, how did you find your instrument? How did that one grab you?
So the two things that you need to know about young James, he's a diva who likes the spotlight, and he's a teacher's pet. So my elementary school band, I started band in fifth grade, and I really wanted to play the flute. It was a no-brainer. I remember watching like Bugs Bunny cartoons and seeing Bugs Bunny playing the flute and being like, yeah, that's the instrument that gets, you know, it gets the solo bits, it gets the melodies. That's 100% the instrument for me. And so similar process to Amanda, I picked flute as my number one instrument. And then our band teacher said, we've ended up with a really unbalanced band. We have, you know, a huge number of flutes, and we have barely any trumpets. We have barely any, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I went, shoot. So I ended up playing trumpet because I went, I've got to make the teacher happy. I'm going to play the instrument that we need filled in. So in my fifth grade band, I played trumpet. I was a very little guy, and the trumpet case was about the same size as me, so carrying it home was a nightmare. The valves would always get stuck. I could never get it to work properly, but I still did my darndest. But grade 5 was the end of my trumpet career. Grade 6 didn't really know what to do in band, so I switched to percussion, and I just remember playing timpani very loudly and enjoying hitting things. But it wasn't until my third year in band, so my grade 7 year, that I started finally on flute. We were down to 4 flute players, me being one of them in that year, and so I was not a big fish or a small fish in a big pond anymore. I was part of a small group, and a close friend of mine also played flute, and I just remember us goofing around all the time in the weirdest ways that would not translate well to anybody else's sense of humor but ours. And so it just became such a joy to go to band class and play in that section next to someone. And then the rest just kind of kept going. I picked up trumpet once again in high school jazz band, and play it now a lot while I'm teaching, so it's kind of my secondary instrument. But I got my soloist instrument after all in the end, and then I started playing piccolo because, again, there's only one piccolo in a band, and that's the solo instrument.
James, I'm glad your story had a happy ending, because the more you talk about your childhood, the sadder I get.
Oh, actually. No, I had a great childhood. I shouldn't make that seem...
You weren't allowed to play your favorite instrument, but let me tell you this. If you want to get the solos, then you should definitely pick a light instrument that you can stand up with for a long period of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you did that with the piccolo, too. That's another light one.
Yeah, you pick the high-pitched instrument that nobody else wants to play, and you just do it.
Okay, guys, I want to talk briefly. I do want to get into the next segment here and play another song right away. You know what? Let's do that first. We've talked a lot. I want to hear about your connection to video games, but first, let's get back into some music. How about we play the 7-Star March from the Super Mario RPG game?
Classic.
Amazing. Okay, you're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We just heard Seven Star March from the Super Mario RPG game by Yoko Shimomura. And you guys, the SideQuest Quintet, is joining, two members of which are joining me here today on the show. That is their cover of that particular arrangement.
I should probably specify that this was arranged by a bassoonist on YouTube known as Michael Gebhardt, otherwise known as Bassoonify. This is not technically ours. This is just something he kind of put as free to use. So
yeah, your cover of his arrangement. Amazing. Yes, so that is so, so good. Amanda Forrest and James Palak are joining me today on the show. They are two of the five-part quintet known as the SideQuest Quintet, spun off, a supergroup, if you will, spun off from the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra. And they have been around for about a year, playing shows around town, bringing their amazing sound to the stages here in Winnipeg. We talked a little bit about your guys' experience last segment, but of course, you're on the show for one particular reason, and that particular reason is to promo your shows. Let's get it out there. So, of course, don't miss this one. Beeps and Bops coming up July 30th. I will be there. It is at the... And I'm a draw, too. All right? I just want to say, people know me.
Yes.
No one will know it to look at me, but they'll be like, you sound like a guy I turned off on the radio. Thursday, July 30th at the Park Theater. That is 698 Osborne Street. Doors are at 6. You guys go on at 6:30. So you really have to make sure that you are there on time as well to go along with that. We're going to have Shay's violin that night, 8-bit in the single players, and super effects, like some of the crown jewels of our video game music scene here in Winnipeg. And you guys are certainly a part of that. Tickets are $35 at Eventbrite. And make sure you get them, because I wouldn't want to miss that show. And, of course, you guys also have other shows coming up. Before we move on, I do want to talk about you have another show in August 21st.
That's right. So this is going to be our first ever sort of small ensemble concert. We call it the DLC concert, which is short for the Delightful Little Chamber Concert. That is our director Dan's idea, not any of ours, so you can kind of blame him for that.
He is the pun master.
Yes.
Did he have something to do with RPG as well?
No, that was all the recorder group's idea.
You're right. We'll talk about some of the other acts that are playing there, but you guys are going to be sort of the main draw, I think, of this one. For $10, you can get in at the Crescent Fort Rouge United Church. That's 525 Wardlaw. Again, August 21st at 6 p.m. Tickets are available through tickets.wvgo.ca. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and WVGO, of course, stands for the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra. We're going to talk a little bit about the video game orchestra here in Winnipeg in a moment. But first, I didn't get a chance last segment to talk to you guys about what is your connection to video games and how far back does it go? When did that start? Let's start with this. How about you guys share with me, how did your love of video games start?
So, my earliest memory would have been I was a child, maybe about two or three. My parents owned an NES, and I think at that time on YTV, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show was playing quite a bit, and so there was Super Mario Brothers 2. I always played the princess. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I played it anyways. Another one that was I was really fond of was Dr. Mario. The music in that one always really got to me. Later in my life, I played a lot of SNES and got to know a little bit more of the games, such as the Kirby series I fell in love with, absolutely. That's a big sort of music influential draw. I played a lot of fighting games, missed out on sort of the GameCube Wii era, but I got one of the big really sort of inspiration in terms of my classical side came from, most people usually do Zelda, but mine was the Soul Calibur series.
Amazing series. Super fun and very, very popular for people of a certain vintage like us, Amanda, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's definitely considered old news at this point, I really developed a love of sort of the works of the different composers involved in that, such as Junichi Nakatsuru and Keiki Kobayashi and all the other composers there. And so a lot of the music in Soul Calibur 2, that was the first game I played of the series, really holds a really special place in my heart. And
Amanda, it's amazing that you know who is responsible for the music in one of your favorite games. I think that that's something that my show really tries to bring attention to, is who are the people behind the music, because I think so much of that can just be like forgotten about or ignored. Even though these are some of the most popular songs of the last 30 years, I would contend that the Wii Shop Channel song is the most recognizable song of this millennium. And it's a video game music song. So I don't know. I mean, I can't back that up with numbers. But if you play that for anyone, it's all over TikTok. It has been everywhere. It's memed. You know, like I say, it's one of the most recognizable songs of this century. And I think people just often miss that and don't think about, oh, that was Koji Kondo who put that together. Now, James, how about you? What's your earlier exposure? And why are video games important to you today?
So I also at a young age started with the Super Nintendo, Mario, Zelda, those kinds of games. But I wouldn't say that those ones inspired me in any way musically, but more so just they were kind of the portal into the video game world. I enjoyed playing them, much to my parents' chagrin, we'll say. You know, I was not the sports child. My sister was the sports child. I was the video game child. So I liked just sitting in the basement and enjoying games. It wasn't until I want to say I was maybe 10, 11, somewhere in that range, I had a babysitter who came over and he brought a game that I just remember seeing this expansive world, these very interesting characters, and this music that all kind of tied everything together. And of course, that game was Final Fantasy VII. I'm sure that most of your listeners know that. If they don't, then they are under a rock. The music by Nobuo Uematsu and his rock style inspiration kind of was like an intercession between pop music and the video game music. And the scores were just incredible. I mean, listen to One Wing Angel. You're talking about recognizable music. That's something that I feel like a lot of people, whether they know that they recognize it or not, it's a pretty recognizable tune. So that was a big one for me that that's when I started paying attention more to the music in games. And of course, I'm a big Final Fantasy fan. You can't see me on a radio, but I have Final Fantasy tattoos on my body. Mm-hmm. So Final Fantasy 1, Final Fantasy
4
8.
Warriors of Light. That's
yeah, my Final Fantasy 1. So that was a very monumental game for me. Another big one for me, lesser known but still well known, is Chrono Cross. Not Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross. That was the one that I started with. I went back and played Chrono Trigger later. But Yasunori Mitsuda is the composer for that. And there was just something about the serene and idyllic kind of feels that the early game created. You're on this little island archipelago, and the music really just reflected that with some nice acoustic sounds. Very, very beautiful track. And so that was one that I was really, really inspired by, particularly Time Scar from that wicked flute solo. And so that was something that super drew me in. I'm dying. I keep saying to the VGO organizers, this is the piece that we've got to put on the concert, right? We've got to put Time Scar on the concert, right? And the next concert, right? So yep. I haven't won that battle yet, but we're still trying.
So I do want to talk to you guys about how you pick your music and how the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra goes about what they pick next. But before we do that, James, I wanted to give you a bit of an interesting fact, if I do say so myself, about my own show.
Please do.
Yeah, I'm a bit, I'm focused on me here. Chrono Cross was the first show of my Square Wave.
Yes.
That was the very first one that I did a sort of feature on.
Good
yeah,
choice.
And yes, it was amazing, and to be able to bring that to the airwaves on Winnipeg on the station, it was such a joy, because it is a remarkable soundtrack. And Yasunori Mitsuda is really the work that he put together for not just Chrono Cross, but Chrono Trigger before that, really helped establish himself. And I think there's a story that I told there about how he's like, I'm going to do the next game or I'm going to quit. And the leader of the head of the Chrono Cross team was like, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to let this guy go. So anyways,
no
yes.
questions asked.
Yes, yes, yes. Before we get into how you pick your music, how about I play one of the songs that, Amanda, you composed for the SideQuest Quintet?
Yes.
Yes, it is Bard's Tale, or the Bard's Dance, rather.
Bard Dance.
Right. And I love this track. I never played Baldur's Gate 3, or haven't yet, but boy, your arrangement of this is outstanding.
Change that immediately. Go play Baldur's Gate 3 when the show starts.
Yes, do that.
I have a backlog a mile long, you guys, but
well,
I appreciate that.
That's at the
top
now. Great.
Yes, do it.
All right. Let's hear Bard Dance, arranged by Amanda Forrest, right here on Square Wave, CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you. outstanding a performance and arrangement of Bard Dance from the SideQuest Quintet right here on Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. If you're just joining us this hour, I have two special guests in the studio with me today. They are Amanda Forrest and James Palak, and they are two parts of the larger SideQuest Quintet.
I just want to say a really cool factoid about the Bard's Dance that you just played.
Yeah.
So, of course, Amanda arranged it. Incredible arrangement. Very thankful. Again, I said I'm a diva before. I'll say it again. She gave me the melody. It's great. We love it. it was... This recording of Bard's Dance was actually posted to, Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, and was retweeted by the actual composer from Baldur's Gate.
Borislav Slavov.
Yeah, so that really cool thing. He has actually seen us perform that.
Yes.
He says that he loved that arrangement, actually.
Yes.
That is amazing, and high praise for you, Amanda, for all your hard work on that.
Shortly after we first played it over at Extra Life North, I was the last person to wake up the next morning and found all the messages on Discord, hyperventilated and paced around my room for my apartment for the rest of the day.
This actually kind of makes me think about Boris Stanislav, and that is he just like watching Twitter for people to drop his music? Like, he's up late?
He seems to share a lot of covers. It's not just us. He loves seeing covers of his music. I once saw him post a video of a small child singing their version of Raphael's Final Act, which is one of the villain songs in the game.
Amazing. I mean, this guy sounds awesome, and I can guarantee you he doesn't call it X. Anyways, I do want to talk about the Video Game Music Orchestra. This is the larger ensemble, the larger orchestra that you guys are both a part of. Can you tell me a bit about the history of this this organization? When did it come together? Whose idea was it?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Anything about the origin story here?
Yeah. So as we mentioned earlier, our founder / conductor / fearless leader / executive director, Dan Bjornsson, is the one who started it all up. I remember talking to Dan several years ago. Him and I have, and we've known each other for a very long time, shared love of music, shared love of video games. He was talking to me about a video game orchestra many, many years ago, just saying, you know, oh, wouldn't it be cool if? And I was like, yeah, you know, if you ever did something like this, I would be 100% on board. I'd help you. I'd do what I could. And I'd jump on it. And now I'm going to get my timelines all mixed up because we are currently in 2026. I want to say the winter 2024, December around that time.
Okay.
Dan, don't kill me if I got this date wrong, because his first child was born. Most parents, when they have a newborn child and go on a leave, they're focused on raising their child. They are so busy. Mm-hmm. But Dan, the superhuman that he is, both raised his wonderful daughter and decided this is the time that I'm going to start the video game orchestra and I'm going to get it all together. Reached out. I know that I was one of the people he reached out to, but he reached out to a few people he was connected to in the community who he thought would be interested. And then it started snowballing as people started to ask other friends and posts went up on social media. And we sat down in a rehearsal, was it January 2025, something around then, and we had a full band. We had 60-ish people sitting there in seats. And he had picked out some wonderful pieces of music for us to start on, and we were born.
Amazing, because I did want to know how you got connected to the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra, but it sounds like you had that connection with the head, the main driver, the main organizer, the band leader, if you will.
Yeah, we call him, officially we call him our executive director. But,
Dan Bjornsson?
Dan Bjornsson, he's Dan.
Amazing.
He's the Dan behind the whole thing.
The Dan behind the scenes. Pay no attention to the Dan behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Amanda, I wanted to ask you how you got connected. Did you know Dan previously as well?
I actually knew Dan's partner before I knew Dan himself, Meg Specht. Hi, Meg, if you're listening, I love you. You're probably busy at Icon. But how I actually found out about the Video Game Orchestra, I think it would have been about spring of 2025 when the notifications came out that they were looking for musicians, and I decided, I was also going through a really rough time in my life, and so I decided to fill out the form and be like, oh, why not? Gives me something to do. So shortly after, Dan emailed me, and he's just like, hey, yeah, we're really excited to have you on board. We're turning out to have a really good clarinet section. So thankfully, he just kind of let me on board, and the rest is history. And it's been really great because I've been able to reconnect with a lot of people. For example, James, who I see from time to time. But
that's amazing. And that sort of led you guys to then spin off the smaller subgroup, the supergroup, as I'm calling it, the SideQuest Quintet. Because of some demand that you guys identified, there was a gap. Basically, it's like, well, we have these shows that we want to play a smaller orchestra for, but we can't get, say, the whole band together. Schedules are tough to align. Or maybe they won't fit in the venue. You want to do the chamber music style. So that was what you said, we're happy to do that, and we are both key members of that. James being the flautist, and Amanda, of course, on clarinet. So that has been super fantastic. I wanted to ask you guys about working with the Video Game Music Orchestra. What has it been like to play these shows? Is it different from your usual orchestral stuff? What has been the feedback from the audience? Like, has anyone ever come up to you after the show and say, I don't know anything about video games, but that was incredible? Or like, what is it? Is there, I just want to know, playing these shows over the last year and a little bit, how has this been a different experience for you than otherwise?
So, as a trained classical musician, classical music draws such a niche crowd, and those crowds tend to be older. They tend to be very into a certain type of music. They come to those shows because they want to sit and experience classical music. We bring a new type of music that's not being experienced anywhere else in the city, and I think that's been such a huge draw for us. There is not a group like us in the city. There are other groups playing video game music in different styles, but we are a full 60-person wind orchestra, and so that's such a huge appeal and a draw for us. As a community group in the city, it's not unheard of to have a smaller audience. You know, your shows don't sell out. Our first official show, our Genesis concert that we just performed back in November, we had sold about 750 tickets, which was just incredible. That was the fan response to us. And that, though I haven't had any, you know, random people come up to me and say, oh my God, I've had friends and family who come to every one of our shows, but that was the fan reaction, was 750 seats sold in the MVCI Theater and at Jubilee Place, and just looking out into that crowd and being like, that's what we did with this type of music.
Amazing. That's such a great story. I'm so happy to hear that there is that demand, and especially we talked about exposing young people to it, but getting more eyes and ears on classical music, chamber music, orchestral music. So good.
My mom is not a gamer, and she has come to almost every single show that we've put on, and she loves it, and she brings her friends now. Hi, Mom, if you're listening.
If that isn't a testament to the quality of the show you're going to get when you attend Beeps and Bops on July 30th, I don't know what is. So great promo. We'll talk. Remind everyone how to get tickets to that show. They're on eventbrite.ca, $35. You guys are going on at 6:30. That's July 30th at the Park Theater. Don't miss it. Amanda, I think I want to ask you one final question, and it's sort of similar, but in your experience, because you also have done your own personal projects composing and arranging video game music and some of your favorite tracks for the clarinet and different instruments, what has surprised you about playing video game music? And that's going to be just in your personal projects or on as part of the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra.
I think just in general, in my experience, it's just all of the concepts that are kind of involved in classical music that kind of can transfer over. For example, the work of Toby Fox and his works Undertale and Deltarune, and the use of the leitmotif just to sort of indicate how characters are connected, and those kind of things that you kind of hear interwoven within the music to tell a story.
The leitmotif is such a recurring theme in video game music. You hear it all the time, and it really is one of the most impactful ways to tie a project together, you know, especially as a hero's theme might come in at the right moment or even develop over the course of a game in some games where they become more powerful. It's iterating on that and reflecting then the mood of the characters and the player ultimately. So amazing, amazing, amazing stuff to hear you guys' personal interactions and, you know, what video game music means to you guys. The SideQuest Quintet is, of course, playing the Beeps and Bop Show, July 30th. I just talked about that, but make sure you go and get your tickets. They are $35. And again, you guys go on at 6:30 on July 30th at the Park Theater.
Come for us, stay for everything else. There's three other acts.
Yes.
There's the Shea Violin, there's Super FX, and there is 8-Bit and the Single Players. Yeah. As well, there is also music trivia.
Trivia.
There is also
cosplay
giveaways.
Yeah, so come for us. We start the show, but stay for the entire event.
Yes, very good. We also mentioned that you guys have another show, the Delightful Little Chamber Concert. That's coming up August 21st at 6 p.m. Tickets are tickets.wvgo.ca, and they're only $10. You get you guys and a bunch of other acts as well. The Brass Gamer Trio, the Winds of Teviat. That is a Genshin. That's a combination between a percussion group or percussionist, Jed Manilato, it looks like, and Genshin Impact Wind Quintet. So that's another super group, if you will, the Brass Effect, and of course, RPG, otherwise known as Recorder Player Group. And they're playing recorders.
They are, yeah. A bunch of this is what happens when you get a bunch of music teachers in a room. They go, recorders. We can play recorders.
Yeah, they have a really big Zelda-heavy program, and they'll have a tune premiered that's arranged by a composer named Mark Holmes Accord.
Amazing, amazing. I'm sure recorders could do NES stuff. I'm sure they could do Game Boy stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
Shrill kind of. Okay, we also have one more show I want to mention while you're on the air with me. November 27th, this is Critical Hits. This is the larger Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra. Your premier show of the year, I think, to close it out. November 27th at Jubilee Place. That's 181 Riverton Ave. And that's going to have music from Mario RPG, Wind Waker, Final Fantasy games, many, many more. And is it true that SuperFX is opening there, too?
That is very true. We're also going to be doing a song at the end with SuperFX. What is it? We can't tell you. It's a secret.
That sounds amazing. Holy moly, now I'm excited for this show. I don't know where to get tickets. Where do I get tickets for the Critical Hits show?
For any of our shows, you can always go to our website, wvgo.ca, follow the tickets link. All of our shows are there, as well as promotions for any of our upcoming shows and recordings of past shows.
Amazing, you guys. Thank you so much for spending a part of your afternoon here today with me. Make sure all the listeners get to the Beeps and Bop show coming up at the end of this month on the 30th. That's going to be your soonest time you can see these two play as part of the SideQuest Quintet. I am going to throw to one more song. This is from the larger Video Game Music Orchestra, the Winnipeg Video Game Orchestra. This is the Sonic the Hedgehog medley that you guys recorded. I saw the video. You're both in it. And you guys recorded this last year as part of that Genesis concert that you talked about.
This is our premier concert.
Yep, first ever full concert.
And right at the beginning of this track, you hear the Sega. So
we love that.
Enjoy that, everyone. And we will see you again next week right here on Square Wave CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.